to Inner Bloom, a podcast about how to live a happier, healthier, more harmonious life as you learn how to work with the universe, reconnect with your intuition, and bloom from within. I'm Alexa, a writer, producer, and EFT practitioner with a passion for all things metaphysical. And with me is my friend and co-host, Ambi.
I'm Ambi, a physical therapy assistant, mom of three, and intuitive medium who has been communicating with the spirit world since the age of five. Some might call it woo-woo, but from our perspective, anything is possible, and we intend to normalize the abnormal by sharing our own life experiences as well as intuitive insights, channeled material, wisdom from special guests, and any other resources we believe will help our souls expand and thrive.
Hello, all you bloomers. We are back once again for another episode of Inner Bloom. I am Alexa, and with me is my co-host, Ambi. What's up, Ambi?
Hey, everybody. Yay.
Yay. We are back. We have had a very interesting couple of days trying to record for you guys, but I don't want to go into it because I don't want this recording to stop, but let's just say there were some supernatural forces at work that were disrupting our broadcast. And so we're not going to talk about it because I'm pretty sure this thing doesn't want us to talk about it, but we've had an interesting couple of days, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And things are just getting better and better. And a couple of things that have been coming up, I know for myself, is anxiety. And that's what we want to talk about today. Anxiety, particularly related to food, because it's a hot button issue, especially in our country where there's so much confusion around what's healthy, what's not healthy. Do I stop eating meat? Do I keep eating meat? Do I eat animal byproducts? Do I go GMO free? Like, there's so much information that it's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. Like Abraham Hicks always says, it's like a wonder that any of us even find anything to eat. Like, it's truly, I think that's so true, because it's like something has been written about every single item of food that, you know, it either is or isn't good to eat. So, yeah. And I agree. I think it's a hot topic right now. And I think the reason it's such a hot topic right now, it's really starting to come to a head. It's been popping up a lot for me as well, especially this past week. I feel like I keep getting messages that I'm supposed to go vegetarian or vegan, which would be a huge, huge change for me. Like, I've always had meat in my diet. I've always had chicken in my diet, at least. Like, red meat is a little more rare, but I've always had definitely the chicken, like, every day. And actually, a few months ago, I tried for, like, 2 weeks. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go vegetarian for 2 weeks. I just did it on a whim. I was like, I just want to do that because I don't want to eat meat. And I did. And after the second week, suddenly I felt worse than I've ever felt in my life. And I realized I was becoming anemic because I just didn't have the right nutrients in my diet. So I quickly got off of that. But, you know, lately I've been feeling like, I don't know, the energy is like increasing on the planet thing. I feel like I'm getting more sensitive, and I feel like every time I eat meat, I get really tired, like really tired. And I get emotional. Last night I had red meat for the first time in a while. And this morning I woke up feeling like I was PMSing. Like, so I don't know. That's the thing. I don't even know if there's related, but, you know, I'm starting to get hints that I feel like it is. And so I'm starting to reconsider my diet.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is to like feel into what your body is trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't know if I've shared this before. I don't know if we've actually released it. I'm not sure. But growing up, it was literally like fast food all the time for me. Or like the chicken pot pie meals that you like pop in the microwave. I don't know if anybody
remembers those. Yeah. I used to love those.
So I still to this day cannot eat them because I literally ate them every day. Like, that's my mom worked three jobs and was a single mom. So she didn't have time to make meals. Like, that wasn't even an option. So When I was in my early 20s, I remember I was 100 pounds overweight, and I remember I wanted to lose weight, so I met with a nutritionist, and she had me write down what I was eating, and it was then that it was, like, blaringly obvious. I literally would go to Burger King for breakfast, McDonald's for lunch, and, like, we'd have, like, Pizza Hut for dinner. Like, I am not exaggerating. It was literally fast food three times a day. Like, that movie supersized me. That was my life. That was literally my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that these things weren't healthy. It wasn't that I didn't know it. It's that I didn't think about it, right? It's just not something I thought about. I grew up on Mountain Dew and, like, soda and just a lot of unhealthy food. So through the course of 2 years, I started to drastically change the way I was eating. And it sucked really bad in the beginning because some of those foods taste delicious, but they're not good for us at all. So I lost 70 pounds as a byproduct of that. And then I was still in my 20s, so I was going out a lot and stuff like that. And then when I had my daughter, I've had weight issues my whole life. When I was 90 pounds, when I was 100. And I remember thinking that if I teach her how to eat healthy, she won't have weight issues because it won't be an issue anymore. It will just be like, this is how she lives her life.
Right.
So again, I did like an overhaul of what I was eating. I really like started getting down to what's healthy, what's not healthy. And that's when I did Beachbody coaching. And I know that I've brought this up before, but it's the healthiest my family and I have ever been in our lives because everybody was in it. Like my whole family was in on it. And it was, we just ate super clean. Everything we made ourselves, we made our own bread. We made our own, like legitimately our own peanut butter. We didn't make honey, obviously, but we made almost everything that we ate. I would say 85% of the food we ate, we made ourselves.
Yeah. Wow.
That is exhausting. That's a very difficult process. And unless, in my opinion, unless you stay at home with your kids, it's just not sustainable in our culture right now.
Yep.
So I started doing a lot of research and I started figuring out, like, unfortunately, there's a Whole Foods is not super healthy. Like if you actually do the research on it, the CEO of Whole Foods is golf buddies with the CEO of Pepsi. So he released a statement many years ago, and it was basically saying that you can't win the war against GMOs. So there's no point in his products not having GMOs in them any longer.
Right.
So that really discouraged me. Trader Joe's doesn't, two companies that I really trusted and I really like valued them. Trader Joe's doesn't disclose where or how they treat their animals that like their animal products. So that's always been an issue with them in the media. So it really messed with my head really badly. And I stopped eating meat. My hair was falling out. Like I got down to like 90 pounds. Like I got real thin. And I remember looking at an apple and I remember literally thinking like, I don't know where the apple was grown. I don't know if the apple has pesticides. It said that it's organic, but I don't know if it's truly organic. And I just had this whole internal dialogue, like it's not safe to eat this apple. And then I remember thinking, oh my God, just eat the stupid apple. Like you have to eat something, eat it.
Yeah.
So then, it was definitely like, there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance. You can't eat fast food three times a day. It's not healthy. But you also can't starve yourself because you're so fearful of where your food's coming from. It has to be somewhere in between. And that's kind of where I'm at now is I let my family. I'm such a rude person. I let them eat. We go out to eat like once a week. Cause I like the atmosphere of eating out. And it's incredibly social event. Like you don't realize how social eating is until you stop doing it completely.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, you know, on that note, it's like, that's kind of where I've come to with it, because I've gone through my own things exactly like that, where, like, you know, like when I was in high school, it was like I totally stopped eating for a while, tried to get by on like something that was like 60 calories a day or something like that, that was just ridiculous, and had lost my period for a year because of it, all these things. And then I went the other way, you know, like I think a lot of people can relate to this, kind of going to the extremes, right? Because right. You starve yourself in all these ways, and then you kind of are like, well, that was pointless, or that, you know, didn't feel good or whatever. And then you go the other way and just kind of, and I've just kind of dealt with both sides of it. But I've gone through that same exact anxiety you're talking about, where you're suddenly like, you become so health conscious of what's going on. And suddenly it feels like an avalanche of like, how do I get out from under this? Like, how do I just eat and feel good about eating? Cause it's like, when you know what our country is doing to our food, when you know how they're treating the animals, when you know what happens, it's like you're aware of the fact that most likely that's happening to your food. Like, most likely, even when it says like organic and whatever, it's like, unless you go there and you see how it's being raised or farmed or whatever, you know, you're not actually going to be 100% sure. And so there, you know, on, and I've been there with you, where like my partner and I will go to the grocery store and I'll like freak out because like we can't get like 100% organic or something, or he'll be like, you know, it's like, anyway, the point is, I've come to a place, I think like you have, where, and I think you and I talked about this, where it's like, at a certain point, you know, being stressed out about it is much more unhealthy than what's actually been done to it. Like, yeah. Being stressed out when you eat is actually kind of the worst thing you can do, because the reason that you're eating is because you're supposed to be giving your body nutrients. Now, when you're eating something that has pesticides on it, when you're eating an animal that has been, you know, slaughtered in a terrible condition or something like that, are you consuming its energy and the emotions that went with it? I mean, I believe you are, but at the same time, if you are truly just stressing out about every single thing you put in your body and not enjoying the food and not believing, you know, this is giving me nutrients, whatever I'm putting into my body, it is giving me some sort of benefit. If you don't believe that while you're eating, you're literally telling yourself, this is harming me, this is harming me, this is harming me. And so you're doing that to yourself while you're supposed to be giving your body nutrients. And so, you know, I think that although we can absolutely keep striving, and I think things are changing, you know, like I really do think things are starting to change. It may seem like it's at the worst it's ever been, or, you know, we are becoming so much more clear about all the things that are being done to our food. But I think the reason that's happening is so that we can really become aware of what we're doing and say, hey, we don't want to be like this. And, you know, the more people become aware, the more people can make more conscious choices, the more the brands that are doing the right thing, the farmers that are doing the right thing, we can, you know, move towards them and start supporting them more. And then it's, you know, at that point, it's like the, you know, Whole Foods or whoever is like, oh, we can't fight GMO, it's like, well, that's going to be irrelevant at a certain point, you know, like they're not going to be able to stop the movement towards this cleaner way of eating, because I think a lot of people are going to start finding different ways to get their food. And I actually have an idea for an amazing app that I don't know if I should share here or not, because I'm like literally considering making it, but it has to do with this. It has to do with like the transparency between the consumer and the farmer. Because I think that's what we're missing. We're missing trust. Because if we don't have trust, then we feel like we're being lied to. And every time we consume something, we feel bad about it. And it's like, we need to fix that problem.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. There's actually a company out there that I really like. They're called Project Non-GMO. And all of their foods are 100% non-GMO. They have no, in case you don't know what GMOs are, it's genetically modified organisms. So what that essentially means is, a good example of this is like a grapple. Like, that's not a real thing, right? Like, that's a grape and an apple had a baby. Or like,
I didn't even know what that was. Okay.
Yes. What else? My husband recently bought cookie dough peanut butter. So it looks like peanut butter, but it tastes like cookie dough. Like the taste of the cookie dough is the GMO part of it. And it was sold at Trader Joe's, right? So a health food store, but it's not like the product list in there. I can't pronounce half the stuff in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what GMOs are. So this company is Project Non-GMO, and all of their foods have no GMOs in them. And it's really, they're a really good company. They're also fair traded, and they also are environmentally sustainable, their foods and their product labels and things like that. So I really like them. And the thing that I really like about them, I promise I don't work for them and I'm not getting anything for this, but if they want to give me something for it, I'm on board. But the thing that I really like that piggybacks off what you were saying was that I went to the gas station and I went inside, which I haven't done in a very long time. And they had like all of these, like, naked popcorn, or I don't remember if it's naked pop or skinny pop, but either way, it's like just regular popcorn. There's nothing else in it. I think they added salt. That's it. And it's Project Non-GMO. They also have like veggie chips and things like that. And it was nice to see these things inside of a convenience store instead of the normal Funyuns or Doritos or things like that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like things are changing, you know, things are moving. We just have to, I think, keep moving and keep choosing these better options so that eventually it's like all we have are these amazing options for ourselves. And also to, in the meantime, try to remember that if we're being anxious, if we are literally stressing about every single thing we eat, we are doing the opposite of what we're intending to do for ourselves. And so it's kind of like, I don't like to use the word patience. I really don't believe in patience in the way that people mean it. Like, well, just be patient. It's like, no, patience implies that like you're waiting for something to happen. And in the meantime, everything sucks. You know what I mean? But I think, so it's not patience, but it's like, appreciate what we have and choose to invest your energy in the best of what we have. Like choose to appreciate that there are people trying to do the right thing. Choose to appreciate that there are companies trying to do the right thing and make, you know, food that's actually very good for us to eat. Choose to appreciate the farmers that are like, you know, growing crops that are pesticide free and organic and all of this. And choose to put your energy towards the fact that this is all, it's all changing. It's constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. And that we do have options. We're all alive. Like, you know, yes, there are people that are sick and maybe some of that is undoubtedly some of that is coming from the food situation. But honestly, I think that, you know, whatever your vibe is, you attract other components to you that match that vibe. So it's like, if your vibe is super low, then you're probably attracting to yourself a lot of very low vibe food, a lot of very heavy pesticide, like heavy food. And it's like, it's really all about you to begin with. It's really all about you. So it's like, instead of, you know, believing that you're essentially a victim of everything around you, this is a time to like go inside and realize that it all starts with you, that you are the one that sets your point of attraction, sets your vibration. You choose what you attract to you. And if you have a high vibration, first of all, even if you do eat something that is, you know, has pesticides on it or is, you know, not organic or non-GMO, your body's going to handle that a hell of a lot better than if you're freaking out and eating something like that. And two, if you keep your vibration high, you're going to find the things that you're looking for. You're going to find the options for you that you want, you know, whereas if your vibration's low, those things are going to be like, if you believe that there's nothing good out there, you're not going to be able to discover the new brands, the new types of food, the options for you that are right. You know, I really think that the food thing is like really like the biggest thing in our society right now that is just draining us and is exhausting us, like you're talking about, because we feel like, that's the other thing. It's like, we've been taught, well, no carbs or no fat, or like we've been taught all these elements of our diet, like that we need all of these things. Honestly, we need each one of them in certain proportions that are unique to our individual being. But it's like, because there are all these trends that are like, low carb or like no saturated fat or whatever it is that the magazines are pushing now. It's like, we're all, it's kind of the same thing that's going on with religion, or right. It's like, we all believe in these different things and we're like, no, you're wrong. No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. You need to be like cutting out this thing. And the truth is, it's individual for every single person. And only you can know what feels good to you. And if you believe in a set of rules that's outside of you, you're not going to be guided to the right foods for you. And you're not going to see the results that you want ultimately.
Yeah,
I believe so.
I agree with that. And I also think that it can change over time, just like your beliefs change, just like your way of the world, the view that you have of the world changes. For example, like, what was it, 4 years ago when I was pretty close to being a vegan. Like, honestly, I felt amazing. I had energy all the time. Other than my hair falling out and being like super thin, I felt really good. So, I wanted to feel that way again, just like not lethargic and not like running around. So a month ago I stopped eating meat, because honestly, like, it skeeves me out to think that I'm eating once what was once a living being. Like, it freaks me out. So I stopped eating meat and I almost passed out twice at work. Mm-hmm. So definitely I am. Something is deprived in my diet. I get that. It's not B12. It's not B vitamins because I'm taking a B complex. But there is something else lacking. So for the time being, I'm eating chicken again once a week because my body is needing that for some reason, right? Mm-hmm. So until I can figure out why it is, I'm not going to beat myself up emotionally because I'm eating a chicken. Like, it still skeeves me out, but I'm going to appreciate the chicken for what it's offering me at this time and, like, its journey to feed me.
Totally.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And that's, I think, you know, that is what, that is how it was intended, I think, when humans, you know, developed on this planet, right? It's like, I think I read this in the Conversations with God book. I think it was. I forget where I read this, so I'm sorry. But I was reading somewhere in one of these like spiritual books about some channeled material about, you know, eating meat and about, you know, animals and how to do it in a conscious way. And what this channeled material was saying was like, animals were put here for you, one, to comfort you and be companions to you and help balance the energy on the planet. But two, yes, if, you know, back when there was, you know, when we weren't in this crazy society and overpopulated or technological society back when we were living off the land, it was like, if you at that moment grew hungry, right? Because you were truly hungry, not because you were bored, because you were sitting in front of the TV or whatever it was. And you were like, I need steak or whatever it is. You were literally like a human, your body was asking for that. Then you could, you know, an animal would appear and it was there for you. It was giving its energy to you. You know, it was there, like it appeared in your reality for you to essentially to nourish you. And it gave its energy to you. And it was a gift. It's a gift. And the way that it's happening now is the complete opposite of that. It's not a gift. Right. They're not giving us a gift. It's, we are literally, you know, amassing these animals and raising these animals in crazy ways so that we can keep the fridge or the grocery store stocked just in case, you know, it's like everybody that weekend needs to have a barbecue. It's like,
right.
But first of all, that's so much of that meat is being wasted. I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it's like the way that's happening, it just shows you right there. It's like those animals aren't, it's not a mutual, like, thank you for giving your life type of thing. Yeah. It's like, we don't even interact with the animal. Tons of people interact with the meat or the animal before we do. And they're probably hating their lives. I don't know. Like, you know, working in these fat meat factories. I don't know. I'm not against meat at all. It's not that. It's that the way that we're doing it right now, like, no wonder by the time like we consume it, it's like we feel dense, heavy, sad, emotional, scared. I mean, that's just what I've been sort of picking up from it recently. And I think we're not all just going to start becoming vegan and vegetarian overnight or anything like that. That's not happening. And I don't think that anyone's wrong for craving meat or wanting meat or liking meat. Look, there's a whole food business. Okay. But at the same time, it's like, it's completely out of balance. And I think, you know, what needs to change is the way that the grocery stores are, is the grocery store model. I'm sorry, but I really do think what's missing, and this goes hand in hand with human connection, just to the land, like to Gaia, to animals, to each other, to communities, right? Back in the day, it's like we would be in a tribe, right? And the tribe would eat together and they would hunt together, and it was wild animals. And again, it was that experience of like this animal giving its life for you. And that's okay, because, you know, we all are eternal spirits. We all come back. But it's like, you know, well, anyway, so I really do think that that's where we're moving in terms of, like, I think that the society is going to start to move back towards, you know, direct contact with the farmers, or farming on, you know, having kind of little smaller communities than we have now, where we live so individually in certain ways. It's like we're going to kind of start to form communities, and we're going to start to control our products and control, you know, how we're attaining our meat, and how we're raising the animals, and how we are how we are growing the crops, right? And I think this is all leading back to oneness with all, like, it's all symbolic of that. It's like we've gotten so separated from who we really are, that we've separated ourselves from the land and from the animals that we're consuming, and that's starting to make us sick and starting to make us feel bad and disconnected. And now we're starting to come back together and make it a much more one-to-one interaction. Does that make sense?
Yes. That, oh my goodness. I'm going to pray for that, because that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. That's like a little utopia that you've just put in my head, and I love that vision of it.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, have hope that it goes there. For me, it's a lot of not knowing. It's a lot of not knowing where your food comes from. It's a lot of like growing up that way. And once you are open to, this is actually what's going on, and there are other people doing it a different way, and it's working, and they're being profitable, and it's ethically, it's better. And I don't know about you guys, but here's my thing. So when I see, this is an interesting thing that I've discovered. We used to buy our chicken from a particular grocery store that I'm not going to say, because I don't want to get in trouble if they listen, which I would be surprised if they did. But either way, okay?
Yeah.
So a particular grocery store. And then we started buying our different chicken from a different grocery store. But the chicken that we bought was like no antibiotics. It was no non-hormone. And allegedly it was range-free chicken, which that's a different issue, but I won't go there at this time. So anyway, the chicken breasts, if you put them up side by side, they look dramatically different. Just the way that they look. Mm-hmm. Then when you cook them side, because we actually did this in my house because my husband like was not on board with the price difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you cook them, they taste dramatically different. And I do believe it's more than just the products that the animals are eating, it's the energy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy, like when you decide, I am going to spend more money making sure that these chickens are healthy and alive, and I'm not giving them any hormones or any antibiotics to keep them healthy or things like that. There's more care automatically put in to that farm to make sure that it's sustainable, because that's their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the energy that they put in behind it, it's almost like, maybe not like a pet, right? But it's more of that than just factory farming and just like, I don't care, just put them in plastic bags and kill them, you know?
Oh my gosh, you're putting so many metaphors. I'm seeing so many things as you're saying that. It's like, yeah, absolutely. It's because they're dealing with something that's more fragile and delicate, and they're treating it that way, like life. Like you're not just a number. Like you're a beautiful living thing that I'm raising to cultivate into this amazing product, right? Or like, I hate saying it that way, but it put into my head a vision of someone rather than like an artist or like a graphic artist that's printing off like hundreds of thousands of the same print, right? That mm-hmm. just press print on the computer and they print off a billion products of this, or a toy factory, right? They're just making a billion of the same thing. It's like an artist that's sculpting one, you know, piece of art, right? One sculpture at a time. It's like they put their love and care into that. They don't just press print and it's like a million of them are made. It's like they put their love and time into that work, and you can feel that in the customized energy, right? And it's the same in the customized product, in the end result. It's the same thing with living beings. It's like the same, it's the same thing with a chicken. It's like if you actually treat it like it's a living thing and it's not just a number, it's like something that you're helping cultivate, you know, you're helping raise. It's like that energy is there versus just like, oh, they're all out there, just give them all the same, you know, just don't even exactly. don't give them any of your personal attention. And I think, again, that's such a metaphor for like what's going on right now. It's like we're coming into this time where we're changing from quality or from quantity, which is the lie that we've been told, right? Mm-hmm. Quantity over quality. Quantity, we just need more, more, more. It's like, no, we don't need more of anything. The mantra of the universe is more, meaning there will always be more and there will always be a new iteration of what has been before. But it's like, you know, I think we're really starting to flip that on its head. It's like, for me now, it's like, it used to be quantity over quality, but now I'm starting to truly value quality over quantity. And I think that's the shift that's happening in this world. We're really seeing the value of the energy that we put into things. And this is the other thing I wanted to say that you made me think of is when you cook, this is, if you're listening to this right now and you freak out about this type of stuff, because like Ambi and I are saying, we've both been there. Something that I found that really, really helps, and it might sound woo-woo to you, but seriously, this really helps. First of all, when you're cooking, my cousin and I have done this a million times where like we'll be cooking together and we're having the best time ever and we're just laughing and we're like literally just like dancing to music and we're cooking something that takes like 45 minutes to cook. At the end, we look at the food and we're like, how did we cook this? This looks like it came out of it tastes, it's the best version of this we've ever cooked. And then there's been other times I cook it the same way, or I think it's the same way, right? But maybe I'm alone, I'm in a grumpy mood. It comes out, tastes completely different, looks completely different. Literally, it's like a completely different dish almost, but I cooked it the same way. And it's like, first of all, that's what I'm saying is that the energy that goes into what you cook will really change the quality of it. It really will. And second of all, so if you're loving something while you're cooking it, if you're putting a lot of love into it and you're feeling good, it's going to come out with that infused into it. If you're cooking and you're pissed off about something, you're stressed out, you're tired, it's going to come out with that energy in it. But the other thing I was going to say is that after I got back from Burning Man last year, I felt really compelled to start praying over my food. And I don't mean praying in like the everyone holds hands type of way. I mean, although you can do it any way you want, but I just mean, I realized every time I eat food normally, sometimes I don't even finish cooking it before I start eating it. I'm just like, I'm hungry. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. And it's like that really disconnects you from the food and from the experience of eating it for the nutrition. And so something amazing that I really think helps, and I need to start doing it again, is when you cook your meal, put it on the plate, go sit down, not in front of the TV, just go sit down, whether it's with people or just like somewhere that feels good to you, and look at the food and admire it and like thank it, because you're about to eat it. It's going to give you nutrients. It's going to help you, right? And say thank you. Just put your hands over it and like imagine like love coming out into that food, or just say thank you. Just say some sort of little thing of like, this, you know, thank you for this to whatever you believe, the universe, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just say thank you. And truly, just that alone changes your experience with the food and changes the energy of the food and changes the quality of food. And you can also do this with water, which I think is another podcast where I'll have to talk about this because it's really powerful as well. But you can do this with food and it will change the quality. If you're freaking out that it's not good enough or whatever, it's like you can enhance it this way.
I like that idea. I like that idea because I do feel like I always wait until the last minute until I'm so hungry and I just shove the food in my mouth and I'm not really like mindful or present in the moment of eating. And I feel like that's definitely one of the things that I do all the time. I love peanut butter. Like I Oh, I love peanut butter. Words can't describe it. So I eat a peanut butter sandwich easily like twice or three times a week, okay?
Yeah.
And what every single time, and I don't care if it's an allergic reaction, like I literally will still eat peanut butter. You guys can email me and be like, oh, you're having an allergic reaction. I don't care. So I get the hiccups after I eat a peanut butter sandwich. And my husband is always like, you're gulping it in. You're like not even breathing. Like, just enjoy the sandwich. Take a deep breath. And I'm like, leave me alone. You can't tell me how to eat. So like I bought cashew butter instead of I like to
Anybody?
switch it up between peanut butter, cashew butter, and almond butter. So I bought cashew butter and I hadn't done it with it. So I was excited. I was like, oh, cool. Like maybe it's just not as sticky. It's a little thinner consistency.
Yeah.
And then like I just ate it really fast and I started to get the hiccups and my husband just eyeballed me and I'm like, will you just leave me alone? Don't come in this kitchen. Leave me alone. So it's definitely like I need to slow down when I'm eating. I need to relax. Like, I don't know about everybody else, but I eat in the car all the time because I'm going from one place to another and I don't have time to stop and enjoy my food. But I think we need to do that. Like you said, we need the energy that we put into things is the energy that we're going to get out. And everybody's concerned about what we're eating. Well, it's the energy. I feel like this is all based on a belief system. If you believe that it's healthy for you, it's going to be healthy for you. If you believe it's not healthy, then it's not healthy. Like this is all a placebo. It's all based on your beliefs and your experience. Does that make sense?
Totally. And it goes back to vibration. It's like if
Yep.
you believe that you're a healthy person and certain things keep you healthy, then when you eat those things and you stay at that vibration, like you're gonna always feel good. You know, it's only when things come and throw us, you know, things come out of nowhere, we start feeling not as high in our vibration that other things are attracted to us. And that's just to make us stronger and wiser and better. And it's all good in the end anyway. But it's like truly, I think the key we key I just circling back around, it's like I think we put a lot of power in the our outs external environment, and I get why. I really do get why, because it's so especially just as a human waking up in this society, it's so easy and valid to look around and be like, you are putting stuff in our food. Stop. Like, this is crazy. Like, we have no way, feeling powerless. Like, we have no control over these people who are doing this, right? But the truth is, we do have control over ourselves. And the more that we give the power to the external people, the more energy they have to keep going and doing what they're doing. And that's the thing that I think we need to really start learning for ourselves is that we do have the power. We have the power in our choices. We have the power in our vibration, which, you know, creates new things and allows us to see solutions, right? But we also just have the power in, you know, what we choose to give our energy to. And even if you think that fighting these people or blaming these people or shaming these people, which, yes, are they doing something, you know, not that we don't like? Absolutely. Are they putting stuff in our food? Absolutely. Is it wrong? Sure. But like it does nothing to help us or the situation to basically like shame them and blame them and tell them what they're doing is wrong. What we should be doing is using our energy to focus on the solution, the new way, you know, because that's being created simultaneously and it's available to us whenever we all align with it. Whenever we decide to align with the solution, we will see it. And so, I mean, I'm excited. Like I go through food anxiety as well, but I really feel like something's happening right now, especially where there's like a shifts are happening quickly. Like the whole plastic straw thing, how long did that take for it to pop up and now it's being banned? Like already, it's like that was so quick. Like that, don't you feel that way? I mean, it literally
Yeah,
like it.
that I mean that's a really great example of like education. Education is so important because I feel like a lot of people just don't know. We
Yeah.
just don't know how our food is being made. We just aren't aware of how the animals are being treated. And once you become aware of it, then that's when you have the power to change. And once you, it doesn't have to be like you're not trying to save the whole planet, right? It could literally be like, I'm not going to buy that product anymore. I'm going to buy a different product
Yeah.
because that will speak louder than anything else because that's what they don't want to happen. They don't want to lose money. So if we
Yeah.
stop buying the wrong or stop buying the wrong products and start buying the right ones, that's going to give them a message. The same thing with straws. Like people are like, this is not acceptable. Look at our water. Look at our oceans. And then I just saw in the grocery store yesterday, they have, I couldn't find biodegradable plastic silverware anywhere. Couldn't find it. I was like, man, I think I found it one time online and it was like $12 for a pack of 24. And I was like, that is outrageous. I am not buying that. We can all just use my silverware and help me do the dishes.
Yeah.
So I'm at the grocery store yesterday and I see it and I'm like, and it was like $2. And I was like, hell yeah.
There
like,
you go.
People are getting on board with it. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't have to be huge, big steps. It's just these little things. Like instead of buying shampoo bottles now, we bought bar shampoo.
I saw those. Those are the coolest things ever. They don't require any packaging.
Okay. So here's my little caveat with that. So I was talking to my husband about that. He was like, we got to buy more shampoo. And I was like, well, I don't want to buy it from Amazon. I'm just going to throw their name out there. Because it came in this giant cardboard box with this plastic wrapper inside, like this bubble wrapper. And I was like, this is defeating the whole purpose of this.
Yeah.
So like there's a company called Lush and they will actually deliver the product in a little pouch that you can reuse for a different purpose.
So. Yeah, I know Lush. That's awesome. Yeah, no, and I think it's just a sign of the times. It's like things are, and also like commenting on those examples and then we'll wrap up because we're running out of time. But those you know, those examples like the straw and the what was it, the silverware you were talking about?
Yeah.
It's like if you think about it, it's like the reason why those are so easy to, you know, it seems instantaneous almost. It's like, hey, this is a problem. Everyone, you know, is like, oh my God, this is a problem. And suddenly the straws are about to be banned here. Mm-hmm. Plastic straws are about to be banned in like several states, right? So it's like, well, why did that happen so quickly? But like the whole food thing, it's like, doesn't feel like it's happening as quickly. It's like, well, we're so much less attached, I feel like, to these plastic straws. It's like, hey, plastic straws are killing our environment. Okay, bye. Let's get a new option in here. We don't care. Like, no, who cares? Exactly. Who cares about a plastic straw? Nobody's like fighting to the death for their plastic straw that I know of, right? But it's like meat and animals, that's a different thing because people are very attached to the meat. Like people are very attached to certain types of foods that they've grown up on, that their mother has always made for them, that, you know, our society has really like ingrained that's like I need this type of food, right? And so it's like, it's gonna take a little bit more time for people to let go of that and look towards the new solution and allow the new solution to come in. But everyone doesn't have to do it for it to happen. Certain groups of people can do it and find the new solution. Like we don't have to get the rest. The thing is, we can change one person at a time. We don't have to get the whole entire world to get on board with us before we start making changes here. We can make a change in ourselves, which will make a change in our community, which will make a change in their communities. You know what I mean? And it's like, we need to take the power into our own hands and just feel empowered to step in the direction that we feel is best for us, no matter what's going around us, you know, and just take it one step at a time. And don't be patient, because like I said, I feel like the word patient implies that like right now sucks, but later will be better. It's not about that. It's like, find the best parts of where you are now, the best options where you are now, and know that even better options are coming all the time. You know, and let's just take it one step at a time and appreciate each step along the way. And then we're going to have an amazing journey and we're never going to, you know, we're always going to be just uncovering the next newest, exciting, best option for all of us.
I love that.
Awesome. Me too. I'm ready to like go out and like give a speech, Abby. I think you and I should go give a speech.
Let's go pick it, our sign.
I don't want to pick it.
No, the opposite. Let's go.
I'm saying let's go have a dance party in the name of like good options. I don't know.
Exactly.
Awesome. That.
But I do have to go.
Yes. Yeah, we have to wrap up. So wait, real quick, I just saw we have like we're getting more and more reviews on iTunes. So thank you guys so much. We're gonna start reading some of them on the show. If you haven't rated a review, please go rate and review on iTunes. We would love it. We're also on Google Play. We're also on Castbox. And also write us your questions. Some of you have been sending us your questions. We're gonna start answering them on the show. Otherwise, we love you so much. Sorry, I just borrowed that from Positive Head. We love you guys. You're awesome.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Whoops, we totally forgot to mention that we are including two little Abraham Hicks clips at the end of this episode for you guys to check out about this topic of food and diet and how that affects your vibration, etc. Just for a little more information on this topic today. If you don't know about Abraham Hicks, get ready because this is an amazing teacher. It's an entity that's channeled by Esther Hicks, and just the information coming out of this channel is incredible. And if you do, then you know what you're in for. But hope you enjoy these two little clips of Abraham. And until next time, keep on blooming.
So it's not anything I'm eating. I mean, like, here's the thing. Over like last year, I've really dedicated to try and figure out the system, right? Like girl was asking previously. For example, I went to a health and wellness seminar last year, a 5-day thing in Marco Island. By day three, I was totally not happy. They gave us all these like strategies that are kind of a little conflicting. And one of them was like, they never addressed sleep. And I'm like, how can you guys not talk about sleep? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, some of the stuff they talked about was like vegan versus not vegan, coffee versus not coffee, this sugar. And I'm like, I'm totally confused.
This is the way we would simplify it. And this is the way, if we were standing in your physical shoes, that we would address it. We would say to ourselves on a regular basis, my body is a chemical factory. And it's such a good factory that it can make good use of whatever it is that I'm eating. Can make good use of it. If I am tuned in and inspired to the ingredients that I give it, I make it easier for my chemical factory. But my physical body is not fragile. It's not tentative. It's not endangered. It's not suffering. It is a robust chemical factory that does a good job with the food that is surrounding me. And then do the other work, which is the alignment work that we've been talking about. We are surprised that any of you can find anything to eat because somebody has written a very extensive documentary on what's wrong with everything. So everything that you go to eat has the components that someone has warned you against. And so you're tense about almost everything that you are utilizing. And in that tension, you are undervaluing the ability of your physical body. You are the most adaptive species that has ever existed in all beingness. You have the ability, you have adaptive qualities that you cancel with your bogus thoughts as you make enemies of everything, you see.
Right.
And so that's why we're talking about alignment. We're talking about alignment and then inspiration.
So let me see if I can summarize this properly.
Yes.
So I can have my sugar, my coffee, and red meat and still be in optimal health if I'm in alignment.
You can give those components to your robust chemical factory, and it will make energy and vitality for you out of those things.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. That's perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
That's what I want to know. No more confusion, right?
And more people are experiencing less vitality out of their fear of everything that they are eating.
Okay.
We're going to make a very powerful and bold statement here. The reason that your health issues are at a higher place of discomfort in your, especially Western culture, is not because the food that you're eating today is worse than the food that you were eating a few generations ago. It's because the way you think about your food is worse.
Gotcha. Makes good sense.
Too much information has caused you too much split energy. And that split energy not only keeps you from refreshing your body, it'll keep you from sleeping. It's the split energy that's keeping you from sleeping about so many things.
Hello, Abraham. Very excited to be here. I was introduced to you by my parents probably about 10 years ago. I have several questions. The first one that's forefront in my mind is the vibration that food has with our bodies.
Has the vibration that you expect it to have for the most part. There are extremes. Don't drink bleach. But for the most part, what you expect from food is what you get.
And is there also, I've been told that fruits have higher vibration, or food that is closer to the earth there's higher vibration with that. Is that
true? The less processed it is, the less resistance it holds. That is true.
Okay, that makes sense on that.
But there's another factor that we want to give to you, and that is the more in alignment you are, the more you are able to receive the benefit from wherever you are. It's exactly the same thing that we were just talking about, that when you get tuned in, tapped in, turned on, so that you have all of these resources that are flowing through you. Now, if you have a step one moment, if you are in that mode of really knowing who you are, then the contrast doesn't bother you vibrationally. And exactly the same thing is true of everything that comes into your experience. In alignment, things that you might see as troubling aren't troubling. That makes perfect sense to you, doesn't it? And on the heels of what we just said, it fits just right, doesn't it? Of course, you want to line up with whatever it is that you are doing. Let's say that you're in a situation where you believe that this kind of food is really good for you and that this particular food is very bad for you. But let's say, for whatever reason, the food that you believe is bad is the only option that you have. And let's say it's for a little while. It's the only option you have, and you've previously thought it to be not beneficial food. You've got to find some way of appreciating that food. And in your appreciating it, it will no longer not be unbeneficial. But you all are in a situation where you can pretty much bring to yourself whatever you believe to be the best. And that certainly is what we would encourage. When you get tuned in to this high frequency, to this pure positive energy, you'll be inspired through your path of least resistance. But that's what we are talking about. What if the food that you really, really want is not available to you right here and now? Well, you'll be inspired to the food through the path of least resistance that will benefit you most. So it really is a matter of following your bliss, you see. And there is a whole lot of value in a whole lot of food that you have written off. And there is more damage that is done among the population of this planet today by worrying about everything that you eat than if you knew nothing about food and were eating following your bliss. There are so many people eating in a feeling of controversy, or eating in a feeling of guilt, or eating in a feeling of wrongdoing, that they are actually using the food that they are eating as a reason to not be in the vortex. And then whatever they eat is sort of struggling through their body, as their body does not have its normal resourceful resources in order to process it, you see.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch for a reading with Ambi, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Inner Bloom Podcast. Until next time, remember, open your heart to the seeds of love and light and bloom from within.
Yeah.